So Jai, why don't you tell us how you got your career in music started?
Well, I got my career music started. So I've been singing since I was a child, you know, grew up singing in church. But I didn't really start singing professionally until about 2008 to 2009. So I was working a 9-to-5, and then I just stepped out on faith and I just started singing professionally in like corporate bands. And then that led, one thing led to another. And I started touring in Africa, and it just went from there. So I was able to perform backup for Melanie Fiona. And then I just started, you know, performing my own original music. And so that it really started in like 2009. I'd say 2009, around that time.
And you've toured over 20 countries, correct?
So I have, and it's been so much fun. Like, I've met so many interesting people, and hopefully in 2016 I'll be able to, you know, touch a few more places. And I love to travel, and it's a really good opportunity to create moments with people, you know, that some you don't know, some you do know, but it's just really awesome to be able to travel and just play, you know.
So. Now, you're currently living in Dubai, which is in the United Arab Emirates. What is the music scene like there?
Well, the music scene in Dubai is, it's evolving. It's growing. You know, I think they started out basically with traditional Arabic music. And even the Arabic artists here are kind of becoming more more modern, you know. They're putting, they have a lot of hip hop influences and pop influence in their music. And for me personally, I'm trying to bring more attention to like soul music and more progressive rhythm and blues, which is what I guess I categorize my music as. So I think in a lot of different genres, the music scene out here is really growing, whether it's jazz, pop, folk, you know, indie. There's a lot of indie artists out here. So it's growing. You know, the country is only 44 years old. So it's growing. I think for where it is, it can only go up from there. You know, it can only get better.
And the city is known for being a progressive world city.
And
anybody who hasn't Googled it yet, it's a beautiful city. I mean, it is simply gorgeous. It actually, to me, Dubai looks like it's 20 years in the future.
Yeah, Dubai, that's what a lot of people say. Like, they come here and they're like, oh my goodness, like there's buildings everywhere, and you know, you see cars, and it's just like a futuristic kind of city. And I think, you know, going back to music, that's kind of helping music as well out here. You know, people want to kind of be progressive in all areas, especially with the music. So I think from what people see, they want to be kind of, you know, more progressive. And so I think the environment is helping with that.
Now I interview a lot of artists that live abroad and who are born abroad, but you were born in the United States and you moved abroad. So from my point of view, that's kind of like bass ackwards, I guess you'd say. You know, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, because I hear artists all the time telling me, you know, like, oh, my dream is to come to America and play in America and stuff. And you were born in America and you took your music abroad. How does that happen? Because that's, you know, because like I said, that's opposite of what I'm used to hearing.
Yeah, well, okay, so I call myself a citizen of the world, because I feel like, you know, you even if you, you know, just stay in your own hometown, I think it's important to just get out and broaden your horizons and see what else is out there, you know. So, and actually before this, I was in South Korea, and I was able to come out here. I got a few residencies, and as well as some corporate jobs that, you know, came my way. So I was just like, what the heck? Let me, you know, just go out and see what it's like out here, you know. And it's really good, because musicians and artists, depending on what they want to do, can really sustain themselves and make a salary, you know, in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, just playing music, you know. Some of them maybe cover song gigs, you know, things like that, but you still have the opportunity to make a salary and be comfortable. And that's really important to me, you know, to be able to continue singing every night, every day, and doing what I love to do. So yeah, that's what it was, just opportunity, you know.
And I think it shows in your music, because I just heard the other day your single Higher, which is your new single, and it's going to be on your upcoming album Cheers to Life, which comes out February 2nd. And I would almost not classify it as soul or R&B. I mean, it's almost got a world feel to it. And mm-hmm. and I thought, you know what, the funny thing was, I thought that before you told me you were living in Dubai.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the music is kind of speaking for itself in a way.
Well, I knew that you were a world traveler, but I was like thinking to myself, okay, I think she lives in Virginia or something, or you know what I'm saying. I mean, you just start assuming stuff the more you reach, the more you research somebody, and you know, I thought that you were based here, and then you toured those places, but no, I mean, you know, but before I knew where you lived, I mean, I really thought that Higher had a global feel to it. It wasn't just, you know, like a soul R&B, you know, song. Because if you notice, like every song, like whether it be a rock song, a hip hop song, a country song, or a soul and R&B song, you know, most songs tend to firmly stay rooted in a genre.
They do. Know? They definitely do.
But Higher didn't.
Yeah. With Higher, so my influences, I was really inspired by Jessie Ware, who is a British artist, and her music also reminds me of another inspiration for Higher, which is Sade. So I spoke with the producer of the song, who's Charles Garner, and he's a drummer by trade. He's my good friend, but I asked him if he would just step in and kind of lead the direction for Higher and a few other songs that are on the album as well. And I told him, like, I'm really feeling, you know, the sound of like a Jessie Ware and like Sade, Soldier of Love, more specifically for Sade, you know. And so he was like, I got you, you know. We understood each other, you know. So
you know what? I can hear the Sade now that you mention it.
Yeah, like the driving bass and the guitar, and it just has like in my opinion, and I might be biased because it's my song, you know, but Higher, it sets a mood. And I think that's what music should do, whether it's fun or mysterious or, you know, solemn. It kind of puts you in a certain mood, you know. So, and I think Jessie Ware's music and Sade's music do that as well. So that was,
absolutely. Yeah. You know what's funny? I never would have thought Sade until you said something, and now it's so clear. Sade's like a guilty pleasure of mine. So,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'll front in front of all my friends and be like, oh, yeah, man, I love Van Halen and stuff like that. And then when I'm by myself, it's like, you know, like coast to coast, LA to Chicago, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying?
Like a smooth operator.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, no, she's got that. I mean, she's got, you know, she's got it. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, it's like so classic, and it puts you in a certain mood. Like when you want to chill out, you know, and just vibe out, you'd like put on some Sade. And there you go, you know.
Exactly. So, yeah. Exactly. But I could totally see what you're doing as, you know, as receiving the torch from what, you know, artists like she's doing. Another artist would be Billy Ocean. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Where he took that soul and R&B and he made it global. You know, in this case with Caribbean. You know,
right.
So, and I mean, how hard is that? Because soul music and R&B music is like I said, like rock and country, where they're firmly rooted and there's set rules that are unwritten, but a lot of people follow them. So how do you take, you know, a bass genre and then expand it the way you have?
I think it's all about clearly defining, you know, the direction that you want to go. I know for me, you know, I grew up listening to R&B and soul music and even contemporary pop music and stuff like Simply Red, you know. And so I kind of, I don't know, I think it's just with songwriting as well, the melodies kind of, they can kind of lead where the music should go. In my case, with working with the producer, I told him like the elements that I wanted, and I guess that goes back to the elements that I guess I'm familiar with, you know, in R&B, and so I told him the elements that I wanted, and I think those are elements that you can find in a lot of like R&B songs as well, like bass, and I don't know about guitar, but definitely bass. You know, you can hear a lot of bass and R&B songs. So I guess just setting the foundation, you know, is what's most important, and just go building from there. So I hope that answered the question.
Oh no, it answered it perfectly. Actually makes me want to know something else now. Because you've kind of blossomed, you know, R&B a bit, you know, and expanded it. What is the most unsoul and un-R&B music that you like?
The most unsold? You're talking about just like what's in my playlist or what I listen to?
Well, I mean, what artists or what genre of music do you like that is totally unlike what you're doing?
Well, I guess,
Like, would you be like, would you like say something like, oh, like I totally love Megadeth or something? I don't know.
I can't say that. Like, I haven't listened to. Okay, so I love. Let's see. So, okay, out here on the radio, they play a lot of like EDM. So, I can say that I do like. And I don't know if it's exactly classified as EDM, but I like Justin Justin Bieber, like some of his new stuff. And I know I like up until now, I'd never listened to Justin Bieber's music, but the what's that song? What is the song? What do you mean? They play it all the time out here. But it's like the Skrillex and Diplo song. Oh,
yeah. It's, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? It has like a really like quirky beat to it. It's really cool, in my opinion. And I don't know, that's too far off from what I'm... It is far off from what I'm doing.
It is, yeah. It is. Anybody who's heard Higher, you know, will say, yeah, that's a little off center.
I'm sitting here looking. I'm looking through my... My iTunes playlist. I'm just trying to go through. Like I like Black Coffee. You know, that's. I also like Esperanza Spalding, which is, you know, jazz, and what else? Gregory Porter, and I'm trying to think of other things. Gretchen Parlato. Oh, there's another band which I think is different from what I'm doing. It's Hiatus Coyote, and they're making more of a name for themselves. They're slightly indie, I guess. I think they're signed to a major. But anyway, their music is like a psychedelic trip, in my opinion. But it's really cool. So yeah, those like from jazz to, I guess, EDM. Those are some of the things that I'm feeling now.
Nice. And I mean, and it's good to have a diverse playlist like that as well.
Yeah, so, it's pretty.
Now you grew up in just outside of Houston, and you're telling me it was a town called Missouri, Texas. Yeah. Now that's like the middle of blues country.
You talking about Missouri City?
Yeah, Missouri City. Yeah, Missouri City, Texas.
And you know, it's so funny you mentioned that because my father grew when I was younger, he would play like Bobby Bland and B.B. King all the time. And I never really noticed. Like, he would just pop in a cassette because, you know, at that time we had cassettes, you know. But yeah, he would just pop in. He'd be like, listen to this. And I'd be like, okay. You know, we'd be riding along in the highway or whatever. But yeah, now that I look back on it, like, I'm thinking that might have even influenced me as well. Like, just, you know, listening to that in hearing that. So what you, when you say like blues country, I totally relate to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause Bobby, which is like, what some people know as Blue Bland or Bobby Blue Bland. Right. I mean, he grew up in the South End of Tennessee, you know, and then BB King's from Louisiana. I think it's either Louisiana or Mississippi. Like that's Delta blues country.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Blues and barbecue.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah. The two B's. But that is, I mean, some people would actually consider that as one of the godfathers of soul and R&B, because it was, because think about it, out of Bobby Bland and BB King, Albert King, you know, and going back even further, Robert Johnson, you know, the great Robert Johnson, from them, you could say that's where Marvin Gaye came from and James Brown and so on and so forth. I mean, so you can see the evolution from the 30s through the 70s.
Yeah, and a lot of music, you know, even with it's with blues and also with jazz, like a lot of things that we hear now really influenced by that, you know. And I wish that it was celebrated a lot more, like blues and well, jazz is kind of, you know, tipping on in there slowly but surely, it seems, as of late. But yeah, man, so many things have been rooted in blues and jazz and taken shape from there. So it's really cool. So when you talk about the evolution of that, maybe you can teach me some more history about that.
I just love the history of music. I mean, you can go, you can actually trace rock and roll. I mean, because rock and roll is, you know, exploded in the 50s and actually took, you know, blues with it. And then that's how things split off into the 60s. But you could take that going clear back to the Revolutionary War if you want. The old protest songs to stop taxation and everything. They actually have that 1-4-5 step to it.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know, so I mean, and that's where it comes from. It comes from protest, you know, and then the soul and R&B and blues and jazz, you know, started from inner protest songs from the, you know, the slave era, you know, that were taught in secret.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, yeah,
gospel songs as well. Mm-hmm. You know,
so. Exactly. So where do you think? So as a soul artist yourself or an R&B artist yourself, where do you think that the genre is headed now? Because it's kind of all up in the air. Like everything's up in the air.
Everything is just mushed together now, you know, in a certain way. But I think with artists, well, for R&B first, I think artists are really trying to bring back pure R&B, like traditional R&B. You know, you have artists like Tyrese and Tamar Braxton who are really trying to say, this is what R&B is. You know, we have groups in the past like Jagged Edge and who's like SWV, you know, who were rooted in R&B. But now other artists are trying to come back out and really say, this is what R&B truly is, because I think the lines have gotten a little blurred over the years, or, you know, the last few years, about what R&B truly sounds like. So I think in that regard, like R&B music, traditional R&B is headed back to the place where it used to be. You know, when I was growing up, I remember I used to listen to Atlantic Star and so that, like, true R&B, I think soon it'll be back to where it used to be. And then with soul music, man, there's so many people, even from you know, UK, and who are, it's funny, they're being classified as soul. And I think soul music is more than just putting a choir in a song and saying, oh, now it's soul music. Now it's like, you know, gospel pop or whatever, you know. So I think with soul music, it's, I hope that it's going to, I think it's going to go back to where it was before, but I also think that it's going to continue to become more progressive and have elements of electronic elements. And because that's, I guess, just with technology, it's kind of inevitable, but
to update it with the times, basically.
Yeah. To update it with the times. Yeah.
Now, how would you classify Cheers to Life, your new album that comes out February 1st, as a whole then?
Well, as a whole, I think Cheers to Life is, I call it two things. I say it's healthy music because it's music that I hope makes people feel good. And it doesn't, it kind of leaves you with a good feeling. So healthy music. And I think it's also more progressive, progressive soul or progressive R&B, if it had to be classified as anything. But, you know, when I think of like a Sade, I really can't put her music into any one category, you know, so I think it probably just progressive R&B or progressive soul music.
Now what? Now, you talk about the music being positive. You mean with positive messages, correct?
Yeah, with positive messages. I think it's really important, you know, nowadays you hear a lot of females, you know, using profanity and, you know, it's their prerogative to do that. But I want my music to be able to be played, you know, on a playground or even, you know, my grandparents can listen to it. So I think that's important for me.
Well, do you think, why do you think there is it? I mean, it doesn't, you know, I'm not necessarily saying this is the trend now, but mm-hmm. from time to time, the trend becomes negativity. Like I was, a week or so ago, I was watching this bio on MTV about Kurt Cobain, and the last song that Nirvana recorded is literally titled, "I Hate Myself and I Want to Die." That's the last song that band recorded, and it was 2 weeks before he killed himself, you know? Mm. So, I mean, why, you know, what I don't understand are why some artists, especially mega artists like that will spew out, you know, something that people will listen to and emulate themselves at times.
You know, it's funny you say that because I was just watching an Amy Winehouse documentary. It's called Amy. I just watched it a few days ago, and it seemed like she had a very promising career, but she also had some demons or, you know, some struggles that were, I hate to say demons, but, you know, she had some internal struggles that kind of that made her leave us too soon. But, you know, with the messaging, I think, I don't know if it's pressure from, you know, executives or what, but it just seems like the messaging that we hear nowadays is just very, and on the mainstream, I'll just say mainstream, you know, it just seems very, sometimes it just seems very negative and very heavy, you know, even it's talking a lot about, you know, things I wouldn't want my younger cousin to listen to or, you know, and it's just like, where's the positivity? So I really don't know where it stems from, but I think maybe some artists just, it's their truth and they're just, that's what they're writing about. Or maybe they're getting pressure from, you know, executives to write what they think will sell and appeal to more, appeal to the masses, you know? So, and then a lot of it too is maybe a lot of songwriters nowadays who are writing for these major artists, are trying to write what they think will appeal to the masses as well. Cause you know, a lot of major artists may not be writing for themselves, for whatever reason. So yeah, maybe it's probably a combination of things, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you remember a few days ago, Scott Weiland from STP died of a drug overdose, you know, and Scott Weiland of Stone, you remember Stone Temple Pilots, right? And one of his interviews, I want to say it was on Howard Stern, but I don't know. He talked about, he literally just said that he hated being famous and nobody liked him. And like he said, he wished he'd never gotten famous. And really? You know, and it the whole interview, he just sounded like his fame and his fortune was a burden that he didn't want anymore. You know, and he just talked about how fake people are and all that other stuff. And do you think, like, because being an up and coming artist yourself and being on the rise, there's a real chance that you're going to be famous one day. I mean, like on a global level that he was. Do you think, like, art that you make what you interpret of it? Like he is the victim of his own interpretation, or do you think that if you want to make it positive, you can?
Well, thank you for that future prediction. I appreciate that. But yeah, I think it is what you make it. And if you know, it's kind of like the law of attraction, you know, with the energy that you put out there is kind of like what you get back. I'm a strong believer in that. So and also like surrounding yourself with people who you really believe have your best interest at heart, I think is another factor. Like whoever was in his circle, you know, was kind of maybe feeding into that whole thing, or just, you know, a lot of yes men and people who over the years were maybe not really there for him, but maybe just for the association of being around him. I don't know. But for me, I definitely want to extend my music and into other, like, I want to use music as a platform to create positive change in the world. So I know it sounds cliche, but that really is what I want to do. So I think maybe having that goal in mind will help me decide what route I want to take and who I want to be associated with in the future.
I don't think it sounds cliche at all. Cause I mean, I think what you're talking about is something all artists should do. I think after a point you owe it to your fans or even just the world, you know, or people in the world that listen to you to give them, you know, to lift their spirits, to give them higher, yeah, you know, to give them hope for something, because hope brings change.
Right. Like right now, you know, what's really on my, like, weighing heavy on my conscience is the refugee crisis that's going on. And I definitely want to do something about that. You know, I have a few ideas, but, you know, I just think artists should use their music as a platform for just to promote positivity and change in the world. It stand for something, you know, and not just maybe put music out there for the sake of putting it out there, but just be, you know, musicians are, when they reach a certain level, people look to them to hear what they have to say. And I think, you know, if you use that influence in a positive way, then all the, like, I hate myself and this and that, you know, you'll be like, I'm helping people. Like, how can I hate myself, you know, if I'm helping people? And yeah, with the STP, going back to that, maybe there were some deeper issues. I guess we won't know, or we may never know, but I think just using music for positive change can only elevate you and make you feel good. You know, I was just talking to my friend the other day and he was saying, I like when I help people, you know, it just feels good to be able to help people. So yeah.
Exactly. Well, another example, what about Robin Williams?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, if you think about it, if you remember when he first died, there were countless people that came out and said, I knew him. I remember when he did this and this and this, and he did all these positive things for other people. But he couldn't help himself.
Yeah, and that's the very interesting thing. Like, you do all these things for people, but still you have you're in your own little world, and you're just in misery as well. Like, I think there was a quote that he said, I might be misquoting him, but he said, you know, you can, like, be in a room full of people and, like, still be alone. I don't know if he said that or
I remember what you're saying. Yeah, he actually said, you know, that in an interview with Kurt Loder.
Yeah, it's like you can be as famous as you want to be, but you can still be, like, miserable inside. So, and you know what? It might be just an individual thing. And maybe fame just contributes to that. Or maybe before he became famous, he was struggling. So I could just speak for myself. And I just know that at this moment in time right now, I can say that I want to use my music, you know, for positive change. You come back to me 10 years later, who knows where I might be. Hopefully I'll still be, you know, I believe I'll still be in the same frame of mind, but
I think, yeah. I think you will, because it sounds like fundamentally you're a good person. It sounds like deep down, no, at the end of the day, you know, you're a good person. So, I mean, I think you will still be helping people, you know, in some capacity, and it'll most likely be with your music.
Yeah, I hope so. That's my intention with the music, you know. soon.
Now I've got to ask you. I mean, I've only heard Higher so far because the album because Cheers to Life hasn't come out yet. But you've obviously heard it all. I don't think songwriters just spring the stuff on you and tell you to sing over it. But I mean, you know. But I mean, like, if you could pick one song off that album that is like you think is like the best song that you've done so far, what would it be and why?
Okay, so I have two songs. So the first one is Weary. Now, Weary was released back in February, but we're giving it another push soon. So Weary was actually written by a songwriter out here named Kwame Busia, and he lives in Abu Dhabi, and he wrote the song, and he asked me to sing it because he thought my voice would be great for it. So the lyrics, every time people hear the song, they just really connect with it, and it's a very uplifting song. It talks about hope, you know, and just lots of different situations that people find themselves in. So that song is very special to me. The other song that I feel is awesome is called Creator's Hands. And Creator's Hands is just about everything that you don't understand, going back to life. You know, life can check you sometimes when you're up top and then something happens and you fall down. But, you know, everything that you don't understand, like, why is this happening to me? Just put it in your Creator's hands. Whatever you believe in, whether it's the universe, God, you know, you just put it in your Creator's hands and just leave it there and let go, you know, and just keep living and keep hoping. So those are my favorite two songs on the project, I think.
Nice. Now, what do you have coming up for Cheers to Life? I mean, are you going to tour and everything?
Yes, I want to tour. I'm putting that into the atmosphere. But for now, we have an album release performance planned on January 18th in Dubai. And what else? Working on a video for Higher. So that should be finished the first week of January. And gonna just push it as much as possible and hopefully be touring in 2016. But no dates as of right now, but nice. Hopefully that'll change soon.
Yeah, are you gonna come to the States?
I hope to come to the States. I really do, you know. I really do want to. So I hope so, yeah.
Nice. Now, where can we find you online?
Okay, jfranklin.com. It's J-A-E Franklin.com. Facebook, it's J Franklin. Instagram, it's Cheers to J. And Twitter is J Franklin as well. Oh, and SoundCloud is J Franklin.
Gotta put the SoundCloud in there.
Right.
So, I don't know an artist that does not have a SoundCloud.
Right, and YouTube is being updated, but it's J Franklin Worldwide. So anyway, but just connect with me. You know, I love meeting new people. So it would be awesome to connect with some new folks. So
awesome. Well, thank you, Jay, for doing the interview today. I really, really appreciate it. I love your music and I love what you're doing. And I love that you're so world traveled too. I mean, it shows in your music.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time out to speak with me. And I'm trying to figure out how I can become how I can get an invitation of Jammer Direct. So if we can make that happen, that would be great.
Let's do it. Yeah, I'll set that up, man.